Do you mind if I take a look at the wheelchair?
It's a transport chair.
Transport chair.
Because a wheelchair, you would have to push yourself. There's no way I could do that. So sort of like a grown-up carriage, stroller.
So, Avi, how did you come upon this story?
Well, I guess to back up, I would say generally a lot of us in this space have been reporting on environmental conditions inside Philly schools for months now. It's been a pressing issue.
This is WHYY education reporter Avi Wolfman-Arendt. And what he's talking about here is the environmental crisis in Philadelphia public schools. Six schools have been closed because they were found to have exposed asbestos. And a few others were found to have high lead levels in the water.
And so in this zeitgeist, I was being contacted by teachers. I was running into teachers. I was seeing tweets. I was hearing a lot about or from teachers who felt like there's something wrong with me and maybe my school building had something to do with it. And in that sort of meandering journey, I eventually ran into Lynn Johnson.
When this disease hit, bam, I questioned everything.
Why does Lynn Johnson think her school made her sick? And why might it be impossible for her to ever know? I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. This is The Why. So Avi, where does this story start for you?
So for me, it starts really at this press conference last fall that the Philadelphia Teachers Union called.
Good afternoon.
Had everyone in this room in their offices and crowded. Big announcement.
We recently learned that a Philadelphia public school teacher has been diagnosed with mesothelioma.
Mesothelioma is an incredibly aggressive, particularly deadly, and pretty rare form of cancer.
We know that the vast majority of mesothelioma is caused by asbestos exposure.
It's a material that can be dangerous when let loose, and it's in a lot of old Philadelphia school buildings. And so they were announcing this because they were saying, look, the neglect of our old school buildings here in Philadelphia has real human consequences, including this teacher, we didn't know who she was at the time, getting a disease that will likely end her life.
I am horrified, and I am heartsick.
And we now know the name of that teacher. Her name is Leah DeRusso, and she's kind of been out and doing some national interviews, right?
Yeah, she was on Good Morning America.
How much does that eat at you to not be in a classroom this year?
I didn't know it was my last year, and I just feel like I didn't get to end it the way I wanted to end it.
And Leah DeRusso's case is interesting in part because of the disease that she has. So mesothelioma is super rare in a couple of regards. One, it's rare, just not that many people get it. But it's also rare because it has this known cause. It has this clear link to an environmental toxin. And so we knew that she had worked in buildings that had asbestos in them, that had some issues in the past. We knew she had this disease, and you can not, like, prove, but you can almost prove that her working in this building contributed to her getting this disease or maybe was the sole cause of her getting this disease. But that's not the case for Lynn Johnson.
My name is Lynn Johnson, and I am a former biology teacher at Franklin Learning Center,
which is a high school in Philadelphia. She started teaching there in 1999. At that point, the school building was 90 years old. Mm. And I found Lynn because I was reporting on the fact that her old school, the school she used to teach at, had been closed because they discovered exposed asbestos. And so I was, you know, just doing some general reporting on that. It led me to her, and I started to hear about her story, and I thought it's in some ways a very different story than Leah DeRusso's, but in some ways a very similar story to Leah DeRusso's.
And give me a little bit of background on Lynn. Like, what's her, how did she come to teaching?
So Lynn's one of those people that you meet along the way who is just, like, totally destined to be a teacher. You know, she grew up in Harlem and Queens in New York City. And her mom was a science teacher.
I used to go in her classroom, and she was teaching some, like, I don't know, the nervous system or something. And I just remember watching her and how the kids were, they had like the mannequins on the bed, and how my mom was directing them how to care for the body.
She sort of resisted the urge initially in her life and studied to become a dentist, but she kind of just got pulled back into being a teacher. I think that's where her passion was. She moved to Philadelphia because she met her husband, who's from Philly. She started teaching in Philly schools around 1990 as a substitute, and then eventually became a full-time teacher and moved to Franklin Learning Center, this high school, just sort of north of Center City in 1999.
I became alive when I was in that classroom. I connected with the kids. And then when this disease hit, bam, I questioned everything.
Just before Thanksgiving in 2015, she started having this sensation when she was in her classroom that was almost indescribable.
My head felt kind of tipsy, almost like I was drunk.
Her eyes were not focusing. She just didn't feel like herself.
And I said to my colleague, you know, I don't know what's wrong. I said, my ears. She said, oh, it sounds like you got a cold in your ear.
It became so overwhelming that she almost felt like she couldn't teach. In fact, she recalls vividly that day.
We did a lab, and I told the kid, just leave the dishes. This is significant for me, because I always cleaned up after a lab.
And she left the school on that Wednesday in 2015.
I never came back.
And she's never taught in a Philadelphia school or any school since then. That set off this medical odyssey for her. You know, she went to like urgent care and they said,
oh, you just have a cold, and sent me home with Sudafed.
That clearly was not the issue. She went to specialist after specialist after specialist, rheumatologists.
She's like, I think this is rheumatoid arthritis. It went to your ears. Nobody knew.
Finally, after about 6 months, she goes to a like second ear, nose, and throat specialist.
As soon as I walked in, showed him the blood test, showed him, he went, I know what you have. This is Cogan's syndrome.
And what is Cogan's syndrome?
We don't know all that much about it, but what we can say, and I've talked with specialists, including Peter Merkel,
chief of rheumatology at the University of Pennsylvania. So Cogan's syndrome is a very rare disease.
If you have been diagnosed with Cogan's syndrome, you likely have some sort of autoimmune disorder, meaning your immune system is attacking healthy tissue. That autoimmune response is happening
in the eye, inflammation and damage to the ear that can lead to hearing loss.
And affecting your balance.
We call vertigo, as well as other problems, fatigue, joint aches, etc., that can occur in patients with Cogan's syndrome.
So it's sort of like this autoimmune disorder that's popping up in the ears and the eyes. And other than that, there isn't too much we can say. Cogan's syndrome's incredibly rare. It was hard to even find people who knew all that much about it.
There aren't so many patients, so there hasn't been a lot of big research on this.
What does it feel like for Lynn? I mean, how does she describe her daily experience?
This has completely overturned her life.
Have you ever been on a merry-go-round and you feel motion sickness? That's what I have constantly.
In her house, she can move around because she kind of knows the terrain and it's super flat. She has these special grip socks. She can kind of shuffle around her house. She needs a cane, sometimes a wheelchair just to move around outside, especially if it's a windy day. She can't drive anymore. And she's completely deaf in her right ear, and she's halfway deaf in her left ear. At this point, like, you can have a conversation with her, but you need to like look directly at her so she can read your lips as well.
I can't clean my house. I had to hire a maid, because I can't bend over. When something falls on the floor, I can't go down and pick it up.
The bottom line is she's not an independent person anymore. She's very much dependent on the care of her husband or two daughters, and she's certainly not able to teach and carry on a career.
So what does Lynn think caused Cogan's syndrome?
Lynn thinks it was her school, the place she worked, the place she gave her life to. She thinks something in the environment, in her school building, triggered the onset of this disease.
When we come back...
Now I'm hearing you need to get a lawyer. Like, you need to go... But I'm like going, how do you prove something like that?
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. I'm talking with WHYY education reporter Avi Wolfman-Arendt about former Philadelphia school teacher Lynn Johnson, who thinks years of exposure to health hazards at her former school caused her rare illness. Why does Lynn think that her school, Franklin Learning Center, caused this condition?
So I think the first thing to establish is that the school has this checkered history when it comes to its upkeep and maintenance. The school's super old. It opened as a high school for girls in 1909, and it became Franklin Learning Center when that school moved in the early 70s. There was a student protest in 1996 because there was fears of exposure to lead and asbestos inside the school. The school district promised at that point to build a new school, and there were several iterations of plans. Never happened.
That was the whole reason why they promised a new school. Because they knew the school was toxic.
There was a small, like $3 million renovation project in the early 2010s that did take place. When they were doing renovations, she felt that there was sort of dust kicked up into the environment, specifically because there was renovations happening directly above her at one point.
Something in my head went, oh Lord, they're disturbing up monsters.
And there was sort of dust in closets.
What, I mean, if you had to guess, what do you think in the environment was your body responding to? Was it dust? Was it mold?
All of the above.
Could any of what Lynn experienced in the classroom actually lead to Kogan syndrome? What do we know about that?
I would answer that question with a very tentative maybe.
We don't really know what causes it, and it's quite rare. Even at a center like ours, we're one of the largest centers for studying vasculitis and related autoimmune diseases in the world, and we have, you know, only a moderate number of patients with Kogan's.
We don't know what causes it. Could it be environmental, maybe?
We do know that there are certainly environmental causes of some disease. That's well known for some diseases.
Could it be genetic? Maybe. This is a mystery illness.
And when Lynn's presented with that picture, that, you know, we don't really know what causes this thing, what is her evidence? Like, how does she react to that?
There were a couple of things that led Lynn to believe that maybe it was the school that caused this. The first is that she has a history of sensitivity to her environment.
Being an allergic person, your immune system's heightened.
Allergies are an immune response. It kind of means like your immune system is reacting to things that
Right. Most
immune systems don't react to.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's like, I've got this immune system that's problematic. I've always had this thing that's kind of on the fritz. And I was in this environment with like things that are that could mess with my already fragile immune system.
Being exposed to something that you normally wouldn't react, but caused me to react, is common sense.
There must be some connection here. The second is that Lynn just so happens to have a twin sister named Leslie, who does not live in Philadelphia, who has never been in Franklin Learning Center.
We are identical. We have the same DNA. So when we were growing up, things would happen to me first, she would get them. Like if my tooth fell out, her tooth would fall out maybe a week or two later. So when this happened, I was like, you better watch out.
And her twin does not have Kogan syndrome, right?
I mean, right, so that's a rare point of comparison. Somebody who literally has the same genetics as you but didn't develop the same syndrome.
Right. And so then your mind, I think, naturally drifts to, well, we live in different environments. We work in different environments. Perhaps it's something in my environment.
So how is the school district reacting to all of these environmental hazards that have come up in various schools?
Well, I mean, that's you've stumbled into a very hot area, because right now, actually, the city's teachers union is suing the school district over how it's handling environmental hazards that pop up in schools, specifically exposed asbestos. The school district generally has said that it's revamping its protocols. It's going to be faster. It's going to be safer when it cleans up these imminent hazards. At the same time, it's also said, and said for years, by the way, that it does not have enough money to actually address this problem in a systemic way that will make it so these hazards don't pop up. And so they're living in this weird in-between place where it's like, okay, we admit we have to do a better job, like being sort of on top of it when these things like happen, like snap, bam.
But they also admit they can't do it all the time.
Yeah, that they're kind of like patching up this leaky boat, like, as quickly and as safely as they can, and there's going to be new leaks springing up quicker than they can patch. So it's interesting. On some level, the school district's actually been very transparent, while I think on the sort of like the smaller micro level, there has been accusations that they're not being sort of transparent enough in how they fix the individual problems that pop up.
Is Lynn able to take any kind of action at this point? You know, she's got this theory about what happened to her and why it happened. She can't really take any legal action or anything like that, right?
I don't know. I mean, I think it would be difficult. I mean, I think even she knows it would be difficult, right?
Now I'm hearing you need to get a lawyer. Like, you need to go. But I'm like going, how do you prove something like that? I think that's a waste of time.
And this goes a little bit back to Leah DeRusso, right? When I was thinking about these two cases side by side, in some ways it's like they're the same case, right? Teacher, career cut short by this aggressive illness. But in other ways, they're like, you know, negative images of one another. You have one case where it's clear and one case where it's totally shrouded in mystery. And what I learned after Leah DeRusso's announcement, when I was hearing from teachers and seeing comments from teachers, is that I think a lot of people, maybe they don't have a super mysterious illness like Kogan syndrome, but they do have to live with the uncertainty of not knowing whether whatever thing they're suffering from is linked back to their school. We all know that these schools have not been maintained as well as they could be maintained. The district admits that. And that the reasons for that are complicated and go back years. They have to do with funding and poor decisions and all sorts of stuff. But when it comes to linking that to an individual's illness, it's really, really, really hard.
Right. It seems in some ways like the school district, in not dealing with some known environmental hazards, has created this cloud of uncertainty, or at least contributed to it. It doesn't seem clear whether everybody would make those connections if they didn't know about these cases that are very clear.
Absolutely. When you talk to someone who develops brain cancer, or you talk to someone who has, you know, extreme fatigue, the cruel roulette wheel of life dictates that some people, that's going to happen to some people. But I think at the same time, you can flip it and say, well, if all of these people were in these buildings for all these many years, some of which have known toxins in them, doesn't it stand to reason that someone, some group of people are suffering today because of that? The question is, you just don't know who's in which camp.
And it sounds like Lynn's never going to know the answer to that.
No, she'll live with that mystery forever. And I think when I've dug into stories like Lynn's, that's frustratingly often where it ends, with maybe, but maybe not. One of the most interesting parts of our conversation, this totally just came up out of the blue, really, was when I asked Lynn, like, why she wanted to become a science teacher, like, why science specifically? She gave me this super interesting answer where she was like, some people want to learn science to like learn everything that we know. And for her, she wants to engage with science because she wants to get to this edge of what we know and what we don't know.
I think it connects me to my spiritual awareness that made me closer with God, because there's so much we don't know. And then when you find out how things mesh together, you realize that there has to be something, some order. There's no disorder in the body. It's order. And that it had to be planned. And I think it was more of a spiritual connection that attracted me to science and the mystery of not knowing everything.
And so it's kind of heartbreaking now that she has this disease where she really has to live in that space and try to absorb it somehow, because she has this disease that is at the edge of what we know and don't know.
Thanks, Avi.
Thanks, Shai.
Avi Wolfman-Arendt is WHYY's education reporter. The Y is produced by me, Shai Ben-Yaakov, along with Annette John Hall, Alex Stern, Kelsey Hansen, and Buffy Gorilla, with editorial direction from Katie Culinary. Our intern is Kelly Brennan. Is this an issue that's been on your mind? Let me know on Twitter. I'm @ShaiBenYaakov. See you tomorrow.